All right, now we're going to go to the phone. I know he can work the phone. Donald Chillis joins us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that is all. The next time you're in here on Saturday, I want you and Charlie to do a crash course on how to use this laptop of yours, buddy.
Oh, dear goodness. Yeah, I'll take the blame. I have to take the blame. I got no one else to push it off onto, but glad at least the phone is working.
Just blame Underberg. He's not here to defend himself.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, so it's Dan's fault. Don, your thoughts. Charlie and I were talking before the show. He's like, hey, we should get Don on, man, because I'm sure he was watching a lot of the games of Arizona for certain, and probably some SEC and Tennessee and so forth. So let's start first with Braden Burries out of Arizona, who Brian Butch last night kept saying he was going to be a point guard. He's going to have to play off the ball. He's going to have to be a shooting guard. 6'4", can shoot the rock a little bit. What can you tell us about Burries?
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve. I think he's going to have to play off the ball a little bit, but he does at least have some ball handling skills where you could insert him at the point guard from time to time. I think he does his best work off the ball. He's very good at creating his own shot. He's very good off the pick and roll. There's a lot of good attributes that I think this young man can bring to the Bucks. He reminds me a lot of Malcolm Brogdon back in the day. I think there's some parallels there. So if that's the case, over some time here, granted, we've got two very young draft picks coming into the fold. But I think at least from Braden's standpoint, the maturity level is there ahead of Nate Amon. I think he will plug and play quicker than what Nate will.
Okay. First of all, my initial reaction to that is he better be better than freaking Brogdon if we're taking him at 10 in the first round of the NBA draft. I guess that's my initial reaction. Nothing against Brogdon. He got $20 million a year in free agency when he left Milwaukee and got paid like he should have been a first-round pick and all of that, and that's fine. I get the comparison, right? Because he's not necessarily quick by any stretch of the imagination. He's going to take that outside shot. He can create probably a little bit for others that goes along with it. Brogdon, though, more of a point guard than he was an off guard.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. But again, we're looking at a 19-year-old who may be able to develop his skills with handling the ball here at the next level. I'm not writing the point guard position off. I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I think the potential is still there.
All right, so Burries, that was the pick that I wanted to last night. When it got to 10, I was like, okay, Burries should be the pick here, right? Let's be obvious. We knew they wanted Amon, but I wanted to make sure to take the best player because you had Golden State and OKC. They weren't going to take a project behind the Bucks, so you felt pretty good that your guy that I think the Bucks wanted from the jump was him. What can you tell us about Nate Amon, Tennessee?
Nate Amon is extremely raw. I mean, here's a kid, what, 6'11", can play off the wing, unbelievable wingspan, but again, 19, 1 year of college basketball. I liked what he did at Tennessee. I mean, I thought he was in a very important part of what the Vols were doing. There's a maturity thing with him, and I saw it last night, Steve, and I'm not going to pretend to play a psychologist, maybe on TV once in my life, but that will be it, where I saw a young man who was essentially pouting when the Bucks didn't take him at 10. He looked disenfranchised. He looked sad. He looked irritated. And I'm thinking, kiddo, you're going to go here in the next five picks. Whether it's the Bucks or not, you're going to be drafted. I didn't like the body language. I got off of Amon, but I also have to remember he's 19 with 1 year of experience at the SEC level, hopefully with a little more maturity. That will be a complete misread on my part.
Just remember, you have agents. And what was the talk going into that draft? His floor is the Bucks at 10. He's not going by 10. And I'm willing to bet you that his agents told him, you will not go past 10. 10 is going to be it. You're going to be a top 10 pick. And this is what the money's going to be or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he's not 10. Probably not even thinking that the Bucks have 13 at that point. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. Why am I falling? Everybody told me I was going 10 at the worst. And now all of a sudden, I'm sitting here and they passed on me.
Yeah, but then it should have been upon the agents to go to him and say, listen, now that the Giannis trade has taken place, they've got two in the top 15, that the highly likelihood is that they'll take best player available, in which they did, in Burries, and that you're going to still end up in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Again, I completely understand what you're saying, Steve, and it's a complete disappointment when someone says you're going to have this over a period of time, excuse me, and then for it not to happen. I get a little bit of disappointment. Again, I hope I'm completely wrong. So, I just was not a fan of the body language.
Okay, let's continue to talk about the dude. So this is what we know about the dude. He's rail thin, needs to add muscle. We all know that. But even though he was rail thin, Rick Barnes, to his credit, they play physical. And he was getting hammered. He was getting to the free throw line, all of that. So this whole idea of, well, you know, is he going to be physical and all of that at the next level? He showed that he's not going to shy away from contact, and he's going to play the way that he should. Now, I don't know what his ceiling is, mainly because when you look at him, you're expecting a better first step than what you get. Like, he doesn't have that explosive first step like an elite athlete would.
He doesn't necessarily have the explosive first step, but he's so fluid when he's moving on the floor.
Sure.
Now, granted, you do need that explosive first step, especially when you're in the league, because you're playing against unbelievable athletes. You know, you're playing against SEC All-Star caliber athletes each and every single night. I don't know if that's something that can be developed. So if it's something that can't be developed, if it's something not inherent, is there then the potential to work off that fluidity? Is there a potential, because he does such a good job of facing up to the hoop, when you build some size, working on some things along the post, maybe at the mid-range, that might make up for that lack of an explosive first step. We don't know what this Bucks team is going to evolve into with the amount of young talent they're going to bring in. So unlike when we had Giannis and we kind of knew how the offense would go, it's going to be interesting to see how they develop these two young players that they took last night.
So I'm down with Joe Scott Sports Weekly, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. I haven't talked to you about your thoughts on what this looks like from a Bucks perspective with this Giannis trade as far as what they got, including Casper the Friendly Ghost from Illinois. Your thoughts on what they got in return?
I thought they made the best trade possible. I mean, for so long we were wondering, why didn't they trade before the trade deadline during the season? I don't think what was being offered at that point, at least what we see being reported, was to the extent of what the Bucks were able to get. I heard you and Charlie talking about it a little bit earlier. They were able to play maybe Boston a little bit, maybe some of the other teams, to have Miami throw in what they did. I think they did great. I mean, considering you've got a 31-year-old player in Giannis, granted one of the greatest of all time, there's still that age component that's going to be associated with Giannis and the past injuries. I think the amount of young talent and draft picks this Bucks team has picked up was a great job by the organization.
You like Casper?
I do. I do.
Who is he?
What's that?
Who is he? Like you said, Burry's is Brogdon. Who is he?
Oh, man, now I got to figure out who an equivalent is. I almost wanted to say Ken Benson, but that is completely me being facetious. I think you look at some of the bigger guys that you see working out of the West, I think there's some parallels there. I think you could pick a few players from either OKC. You could go over to San Antonio and look at some of the guys that work off the block there, and you could find some parallels. I don't know exactly off the top of my head who I would equate him to, but I think he's going to do some good stuff.
Yeah, I'm not there.
I see you crinkling your forehead,
I'm
sir.
Not,
it's
I'm
all
not.
Right.
I'm not.
You are. It's all right.
Like, do I think he can play? I think he can play. Do I think he's going to be, you know, an all-star starter or anything like that? No, I don't. I think he's probably a rotation guy. Do I think he takes out Ryan Rollins? I doubt it. I don't see that happening at this point. And then Burry's, if he's going to be the two, which I think we all think he's going to be the two, I think he's just a rotational piece. Now, if he ends up being better than Rollins, well, that's a really good first step, because I think going into this year, you look at Ryan Rollins and go, well, he's going to average at least 20 a night. He may average 22 or 23 a night, especially if at some point they trade Tyler Hero. Rollins is going to be the major shot taker on this team.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect in this case any of the two we drafted last night to be nothing more than rotational pieces maybe for the next year or two. I think there's got to be some development, and that will be, in my mind, the key as far as the Bucks go. The Bucks have not been very good at developing young talent under the former, shall we say, coaching regimes that we've had over the past several years. It'll be interesting to see if this current regime that's now in place can develop this young talent and turn them into what we need.
Taylor Jenkins did it in Memphis. You can hope he can work his magic again here in Milwaukee. Mr. Wachilis, I thank you so much. What's coming up on Saturday's College Sports Weekly Show from 9 to 11?
Well, of course, we got to talk about the Sorsby thing. I heard you talking about that in the last segment. We'll pick up upon that. You know, the NCAA doing the 5 for 5 now. It's a great start, but you know the way the state of the NCAA is, that'll be challenged in court. And also want to hopefully get some guys on who do the Blue and Gold podcast over in Michigan and talk about the fact that you've got another major coach from your athletic department who has exited stage left, and the rumor mill's starting to fly about a potential report that could be coming down in the next few months with regards to the Michigan athletic department.
Uh-oh. You think they might be in some trouble?
Well, you know, what is trouble these days? I have no idea.
Trouble. I'll categorize trouble. Trouble would be losing scholarships. Trouble would be vacating wins. That's trouble.
That could be. More of the vacating scholarships. To me, the vacation of wins is a bit irrelevant. That's, I heard you guys talking about the paper tiger before. That to me is a paper tiger move when you're pulling wins off of the record book, but maybe scholarships. It'll be interesting because, again, the rumor mill is that Day left simply because he knows what's coming down the pike as far as this potential report goes. It's Michigan, Sparky. It's what they do.
Yep.
But they're no Michigan State.
It's
they're better than Michigan State.
They're better than Michigan State?
Yeah, Michigan State has its own problems, too.
Look at Charlie setting the bar high there. There you go, sir.
There you go.
Learn from the best.
You learn from the best. But again, would you, but be honest though, would you take whatever they're about to go through at Michigan for a national championship in basketball or football for Wisconsin?
Yes.
Hell yes.
Simply.
All day.
Simply because of the fact Michigan finds a way. They've given you the blueprint on how to rebound from the mess.
Yeah.
And they find a way to rebound within a few years, yes, I'll take the national championship.
I do not care what happens. If football ever won a national championship, it would be bigger than anything you could potentially see at this point. I mean, are the odds more stacked against the Badger football team of winning a national championship or more against the Brewers of winning a World Series?
I think the odds would be more against the Badgers.
Absolutely. No question, even with all the salary disparity, way more difficult for Wisconsin to be able to win a national championship than the Brewers, even though they've never won one. Still way more difficult. Don, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your show.